He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Wednesday. It is the October 13th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And I don't know what happened, Barry, but the Dow was up, and then now it's turned negative. So I haven't seen any news as to why that happened.
Yes, but it happened. The inflation numbers, but those have been out for a bit today. So
And on the other hand, the Nasdaq's off to a pretty good start, and we're off to a pretty good start here at Gunderson Capital so far today, with a lot of time left between now and the close. So the Dow is down 180 right now, 35,198, 34,198. 35,000 has definitely become a resistance level, and all of the major averages are trading below their 50-day moving averages. We'll talk about that in a minute. S&P 500 down 7, 43.43. The NASDAQ, however, on the strength of, I saw AMD having a pretty good day, ASML, a few others we'll talk about later on here. NASDAQ up 59 right now, 14,525. Russell 2000 flat. Boy, those small caps, they've been flat. They've been flat for a long time. Crude oil down 89 cents. You'd think that would be helping but the Dow today, but it's not. It's at 79.75. Gold is up 21. Now, I got to tell you, underneath the surface, there's a lot of individual gold stocks on the move, and I'm very interested again in a few of those. Silver's up 45 cents. We have the 10-year backing off. That should be good for the markets. Well, it's helping the NASDAQ,
right? Yep.
Which seems to be the most keen and the most sensitive to interest rates. 1.55 today on the 10-year. And last but not least, Bitcoin getting hit today, down 2338 to 54,600. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years in the business as a professional money manager, former analyst writing up research reports, and Barry Kite with us today. Again, CFA, which is a chartered financial analyst, and a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. So you do have some firepower behind the mics today again, and hopefully some of that firepower can point you in the right direction. And kind of a market that is all over the place right now. You know, trends don't last very long, it seems like, in this current market.
Not at
all. Which makes it difficult. Makes it difficult to navigate our way through it. We know the areas to avoid in the market, but anything that kind of takes off and starts to move, it doesn't last very long. So, you know, yesterday, for instance, the Dow ended up down 118. Yesterday, the NASDAQ was off 20. It was a pretty slow day all day long, but there was some strength, okay? I saw some strength in the software sector, especially. There was a software stock, Hubs, H-U-B-S, that had a huge day, and it kind of trickled over to a lot of the other software stocks. And this solar sector was on fire again yesterday, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's been a one step forward, one step back kind of sector all year long. If you look at the chart of TAN, for instance, T-A-N, you see the solar sector, that ETF was $125 in February. And now it's $87. Yep. There's some real supply issues with solar panels. There's, of course, the issue between the U.S. and China. And, of course, some of those solar makers, some of the panel makers out of China, you know, we allege that it's being done with the Uyghur Muslims. So that's a problem. And it's just hard to invest in that solar sector because of all the starts and stops that I continue to see. But like I say, the software stock, the software sector was strong yesterday. HubSpot kind of led the way. The cloud stocks, the real cloud stocks, not the fertilizer cloud wafting through the air out of Dearborn, Illinois, or what? No, I can't remember. Deerfield, no, Illinois. That's one cloud, but the cloud, they were good yesterday also. I mean, I saw NTR, Nutrien, hit a new high. But solar really shined yesterday. China is ramping up renewable investments. I don't know if it's just, you know, China talks it up a lot, but they continue to have the most polluted cities in the world. I mean, they've been wearing masks forever, and it's not because of COVID. It's because you can't breathe the air over there.
Right, and I think it's important to mention that kind of the three big drivers of solar is you've got, you know, energy prices. So as energy prices, all else being equal, makes solar more attractive. The other kind of headwind is as interest rates go up, it, you know, makes that, you know, the financing solar projects more expensive. So higher interest rates kind of hurts solar. And then the third, of course, is, you know, government intervention in terms of subsidies, right? And that's kind of, you know, that's one of those things that's waned a little bit more. I mean, you know, China used to do a lot of subsidies towards renewables. They've done, you know, doing a little bit less, but it's still one of those, you know, subsidies. I mean, you're gonna see, you know, especially Biden administration, right? You're gonna have promotion of renewables around the globe. So those are kind of, to me, the three primary drivers. Of course, you got supply and demand in times where
panels. There's a fourth one. There's a shortage of a panel. I have two at my home on my roof, a deck on my house that is in the sun all day long, and I have a solar generator, which is kind of cool. And it's a sunny day here today, so it should be 100% charged by the end of the day, and it's a backup in case, you know, my office ever goes down. I've used it quite often. Okay, and the other area of the market that was on fire yesterday, the EV stocks, electric vehicle, that was led by Tesla. They had some pretty impressive numbers with China sales, their deliveries, and that kind of lifted a lot of the usual suspects in the EV sector. But the amazing thing to me, Tesla is now an $800 billion company, closing in on a trillion. And you have to put that in perspective. Ford is a $60 billion company.
Right.
And, you know, my wife and I were driving on the roads yesterday, and I was telling her this fact that Tesla hit $800 billion. I said, look around here on the freeway, and how many Teslas do you see? They don't have that big of a market share, and, you know, Ford and GM cars are everywhere, right? They dominate the landscape. But it's that, I guess it's that sex appeal factor. Now, you as a chartered financial analyst, Barry, how much higher of a PE, forward PE, are you going to give Tesla than GM? Is the market right with this huge disparity in valuations?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, you got to think growth prospects, right? Because, you know, of course, where they're at and valuations, right? It certainly, you know, Tesla gets the benefit of looking much more forward, right, than, say, a GM.
Yeah.
You know, and GM, they've worked through some of their, of course, you know, your pension liabilities and other issues, right? But they, you know, those still, they still have some overhang and legacy costs associated with them. So that's another reason that kind of brings them down from a PE standpoint. But, you know, you're right. I mean, when you look at, you know, sales potential, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of technology piece of Tesla value wise. They've got the neat, talking about solar panels. They got the neat, you know, shingles that they can use as solar panels for your house, and the, you know, and attach it to the power wall and the whole battery, you know, side of it. So they've, you know, they're kind of, to me, they're well diversified across that whole EV space. And part of the factor is also the Elon Musk factor, right? They get, you know, they get a valuation bump there. Right. And so, as you say, the market's a fashion show, a lot of times, and it's driven by supply and demand as well. And, you know, fashion, it's fashionable to, you know, to be in that EV and Tesla space, especially, you know, it's a pure play. They don't have any, you know, no combustible engine, right? So,
and I've always said that there's three companies out there that have this cult following that that allows them to have enormous P.E. ratios and market cap. Number one was Apple for many years. It still has a cult following. Number two was Chipotle. It still has a cult following. $1,000 a share on Chipotle. A $2 trillion market cap on Apple. And the third one is, without question, Tesla, which is closing in on a $1 trillion market cap.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for brand, sex appeal, and a cult following. Well, when we come back, core CPI. This is going to be the most watched number. You know, this along with, you know, GDP and growth. And those two are going to be compared as we are on stagflation watch. Where did the CPI come in today? Is it going to get worse or is it going to get better? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. The Dow down 213 right now, but the NASDAQ up 31. S&P kind of splitting the difference there. It's down 13 points. You do have gold up $28, and I am noticing I've got a few gold stocks on my watch list. AU, definitely. And AU and Kirkland definitely looking interesting here. Maybe finally gold is saying that gold is saying there's going to be more inflation ahead. The bond market, on the other hand, it's down 4 basis points today to 1.54. So here's the big number that we wait for, and this is going to be very critical going forward every month. The inflation number came in at 5.4%. It's been a long time since I've said that number, Barry. 5.4% year over year. Consensus was 5.3. Here's what rose. Shelter. Give me shelter. You know, the Rolling Stones said
Yeah.
It's your home prices. New vehicles. And, that's because of the supply is down. Household furnishings, well, lumber prices have gone up. A lot of natural gas probably is involved in some of the fabrics, vinyl and that kind of thing.
Supply chain issues, getting the stuff here.
Yep, supply chain issue. Motor vehicle insurance. Now, that's weird. Okay, all rose in September. And let's not forget a New York steak. Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. You know Hall's Chop House, $75 now for a New York steak. That's a la carte. That's for a piece of beef on your plate and nothing else. Here you go. Yeah. Here's your dinner. Enjoy every bite.
Up 12.6% per year, and that's across the board meat. That doesn't include, you know, that's not breaking down, you know, between steak, chicken, you know, pork.
Unbelievable.
It's 12.6%.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty a good one to look at is the price of a bone-in fillet, because there's only I think there's only one or two bone-in fillets per cow, and so I like to use that one as a good barometer. Just be, that's kind of my own.
I like to use it as a good dinner too.
Me too. Yeah, and of course it's gotten. I think it's close to. I'll have to go back at the numbers, but I think that one's up maybe 50% on the year in terms of just that particular cut.
Okay, now why don't I look at the ETF COW, COW, okay, which is the Bloomberg Livestock Total Return Index. That thing is flatter than a pancake. It's not moving anywhere. But I guess it's those prime cuts, you know, because the I was just going to say we should invest in cows. Well, there is an ETF that somebody thought of, COW.
COW.
And it's not doing so good. Yeah, who put on my cowboy hat? Anyway, Southwest, I don't know what to make of that story. You know, we I've heard rumors that it was a sick out by the pilots because they're not happy with the vaccine mandate. But CEO Gary Kelly completely denies that rumor. He says that any disputes over vaccines had zero influence on what happened during the weekend. So I honestly don't know what the truth is. They claim that something broke down in Florida and it just snowballed from there. So we're just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, and you had American Airlines, same thing happened in Florida, right? And I think they ended up canceling, I think it was 2 or 3% of flights, and you compare that to the number of flights that Southwest had to cancel. You know, I've heard some arguments for Southwest against, you know, the fact that they're, you know, schedule, you know, basically there's no room for error in their schedule. So
no,
when you have one issue, then it's going to, you know, can domino effect all the way down.
I guess.
The good news is I was actually on two Southwest flights and, you know, back-to-back weekends, you know,
really?
2 weeks ago, no problems at all. And then, of course, you know, the third week, right? And here's what we're looking at. So we were thankful that we traveled when we did. But that was the other thing on the CPI was the, you know, airline fees, right, or fares. They were down 6.4% in September on top of being down 9.1% in August. And, you know, to me, kind of the Dow being down today, I kind of tie it. Maybe, you know, it could be the, you know, just the global growth, you know, finally, you know, people worry about global growth because that's, you know, the Dow is going to be more drilled towards, you know, rising GDP, right? More, you know, the old, you know, it's not as much industrial anymore, but it's still tied to it a bit. And, you know, that's kind of the only thing I can think of today as to why, you know, the Dow's kind of struggling compared to some of these other numbers. Because you had some good earnings, what, from JP Morgan?
Yeah.
You know, they're included in there. So, Delta.
CPI, how come they don't mention gasoline there in the CPI?
I have that. I dove into the actual numbers. They didn't. I don't know why they didn't have it on the kind of press release, but, probably because it's not a great number for consumers.
No, they want to hide and bury it.
Up 42% year over year.
See, they didn't want to put that in the headlines. You had to dig deep to find that, 42%. Yeah. It's up $1 year over year per gallon.
Well, when it's I think I paid over $3 here yesterday, and then I know in California we had a rental car.
$6.
We paid $6. Of course, that was probably close to the airport, but, you know, $6 a gallon. The other thing is big headlines, you know, security
benefits. It's kind of breaking up there.
Am I?
Okay with this?
Yep.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, Social Security benefits, though, up 5.9% for 2022.
All right. As I mentioned, all of the indexes, they're pretty weak right now. They're all in sideways trends, and they're trading under their 50-day moving averages. For me, the only catalyst that's out there that's going to kick these things back into gear and get them charging towards new all-time highs would be the earnings season that is now underway. And, you know, let's see. It's hard to – we had one client yesterday call up and say, I just want to be in cash right now. He sold everything. He's the first one to buckle, okay? I just think we're in a holding mode right now. As the market waits to see these earnings coming in, Kathy Wood, very optimistic about the equity market. Of course, she always is. And she's the one that says that there's more fear of deflation than inflation. But she has her monthly webinar, and she says she's very optimistic about the equity market. I would say she's kind of an outlier right now, which she usually is. But for what it's worth, that's what she sees. She's very optimistic about the equity market. And, of course, the consensus target price on the S&P 500 right now is 5,000. And we're under 4,400 right now. Wall Street isn't buying the stagflation speculation yet. Okay, we definitely have the flation side with 5.3. And it seems like the stag side is getting louder and louder all the time, especially from, like, the International Monetary that watches the global economy. It seems like that stagflation thing is a little more likely than Wall Street's louding on. And lastly, before we come back, Jack's back. Jack Ma was spotted in Hong Kong yesterday. He wasn't wearing handcuffs. He was walking around freely, but he hasn't been spotted for a long time. Okay, when we come back, big Tesla news. They're debating that tax incentive, and Tesla may lose it. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. About the same on the market. Not much change since we started. A few stocks jumping off the page at me yesterday and again today and really in the last couple weeks. What is up with the uranium stocks? Oh, man. UUUU, that's one of them. LEU. Several others in that uranium. I don't know what's up there. That's a little spooky, to be honest. Who's buying up uranium and
nuclear
driving
power?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Okay. We hope. Yeah. We hope.
Yeah. Or we're destroying the Earth. One of the Or we're going to blow everyone up.
Nuclear can be used for nefarious. I don't know. I'm just letting you know what I observe. Okay. Another thing that I'm noticing here: big movement in the gold stocks, which have been under, they've been horrible. But I'm seeing El Dorado Gold, EGO, bouncing today. I'm seeing AU, which has always been one of my favorites. I've never had much luck with the gold stocks. You see a burgeoning rally starting to boil, and you get into them, and that burgeoning rally disappears. The minute you buy a gold stock or two, I'm just telling you what I observe, and I'll watch the rankings and the charts on those gold stocks, but they're on the move. Plug, which we made a lot of money in. I can't remember which company it is. It's one of the big airlines, is teaming up with Plug to see if hydrogen fuel cells are feasible at all for big old jet airliners. Tata Motors, again, they have... Tata is going to become a big player in the EV market, and some big hedge fund is investing in Tata, and they're valuing just their EV assets at $9 billion. And yesterday, Tata, TTM out of India, which we know as Jaguar and Land Rover over here in the U.S., but they do have other brands. That stock's on the move again. And I'm noticing really nice action in AMD today, totally bucking the trend here. And also SE, which is one that we own out of Singapore, C Limited. Wow, look at that breakout. I added to our position yesterday, so mm-hmm. That was a pretty good move. All right, COVID vaccinations required for Boeing employees. I have a lot of friends, I'm sure you do too, Barry, here mm-hmm. in South Carolina that work for Boeing. 125,000 U.S. employees are now facing a vaccine mandate. We'll see how that goes. Okay, here's this Tesla story. We've mentioned this before. Pelosi and a few others, they want the vehicle tax credit. I believe it's $7,500 right now if you go buy a Tesla, federal tax credit. They want to make the tax credits only available to union shops, which would cut Tesla out of that electric vehicle subsidy tax incentive. That would be a huge hit. And of course, Tesla is wildly against that. But the reason I bring it up today is because the legislative battle is heating up, with Reuters reporting that more than 100 U.S. lawmakers are pressing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to keep a $4,500 tax credit incentive for union-built electric vehicles in the proposed spending bill. And, of course, there's a lot of items in that proposed spending bill that have nothing to do with what the bill is all about, but that's how they work in Washington. And that's boosting General Motors, Ford, Stellantis. But, of course, Tesla is non-unionized. Toyota is non-unionized. Volkswagen, Honda, and Nissan So are we going to pick winners and losers there and favor the three big automakers, the big three, giving them the tax credits and not Tesla and these others? Well, we'll see. All right. Gazprom is pumping gas from storage. They have storage. They're pumping it to Europe. They're using their inventories to pump more natural gas into the pipeline to stabilize rising European prices. It seems to me when you put the gas supply in the hands of Putin and others that they're going to play games. Gazprom aims to work, they say, collaboratively with Europe. Well, they haven't been so trustworthy in the past. And they say there's no truth to the accusations that the Russian energy suppliers have been holding back capacity to pressure the European Union into accepting the controversial Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Well, if it was me, I wouldn't trust Russia on that, but we'll see what goes on there. Now, there's big news on Apple today. They're having problems with, guess what? The chip shortage, the supply chain, and Apple is down today. Apple's in the Dow. Okay, that could have something to do with the Dow. It's down 1.8% today, 1.3%. They're cutting their iPhone 13 production due to chip shortages. And I've just noticed underneath the surface of the chip makers, there's a lot of weakness all of a sudden in Qualcomm, in NXP semiconductors, in Broadcom, in Texas Instruments. I mean, not only is the chip shortage hurting the downstream, it's hurting the upstream of the chip companies. And, you know, Apple is a big user. So, of course, that leaks out into all of the suppliers to Apple, Skyworks and Cirrus Logic and Qorvo and Broadcom and Qualcomm and all the others. So the chip issue, I don't know what created this shortage. I guess you'd have to blame it on COVID. They must have ramped down a lot of their factories and whatnot during COVID and then couldn't get them ramped up fast enough. That's the only maybe a worker shortage. I don't think it's a supply.
Well, in demand, you've got, you know, more EV, right? So the more sensors and everything else, right? So your number of computer chips per, say per vehicle now is increased, right? And there's it's an interesting dichotomy today when you look at the chip makers. You've got, you know, AMD, for instance, doing well. And like you said, you got those that are tied to, you know, some of the Apple news. They're going in the other direction.
Right.
But I will say Apple does, they did announce that they have another event coming up, so they're gonna have, I think, some info on the AirPods and some other things. So I guess we're gonna get two events pretty close to each other from Apple. So remember, you know how those were always used to be so used to be much more exciting with
I've heard this one's more about their Mac computers and nothing real sexy with the phones or anything. Well, welcome to earnings season. It is now taking off the runway. Delta reported today, not very good. Delta's down 4.8%.
Well, the key is the fuel cost. You see the note on that's what we were talking about. Looking at each of these transcripts and what the CEOs have to say on the call, and the big worry is fuel cost.
Yep, they did beat their earnings by 15 cents. They beat on revenue. But you know what everyone's going to be watching in this earnings season is forward guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And Delta's the first one, which doesn't surprise me. They warn of higher fuel profits. The prices could clip profit. Now, you would think Delta would have pricing power to pass that on to the customer. But I think, you know, they warn a lot of times just to cover themselves, too, just in case. But they are saying that this could have an impact. And, of course, you'd probably have to say all the airlines are going to have that same issue. This is the weirdest story of the day. Best Buy makes a bigger push into home health care. Okay, this is telemedicine. Best Buy? Mm-hmm. Telemedicine? With the acquisition of Current Health. No, they're getting in to, they say, we have distinct expertise in helping customers make technology work for them. So they're going to start combining Current Health's remote care management platform with their existing health products and services. So they're going to become a vendor of telemedicine at Best Buy.
Hmm.
So call the Geek Squad, ask them about your dental insurance.
There you
Plug
go.
Plug Power. Here's that Plug Power story. They pop on Airbus. Airbus's green hydrogen partnership. Well, you know, they've talked about used French fry grease, you know, for the airlines. They've talked about the fuel made from algae. They've talked about, you know, all kinds of different greener fuels. And I don't know. I mean, Plug Power with their fuel cells, which Elon Musk calls fuel cells. Would they ever play any part in fueling a big old jet airliner? Well, that's moving Plug. We made a lot of money in Plug last year. I almost bought it yesterday. In fact, I tweeted out, this stock, there's something up. And sure enough, it's up 10% today on that news. Okay, I've got some stocks to talk about when we come back.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'm going to blame the sell-off in the Dow on about three companies here. I'm going to blame J.P. Morgan, which had a good report, a knockout report, but the stock is down 2.5%. I'm going to also blame Apple a little bit. It's down 1.1% on cutting back on their iPhone 13 because they can't get some of the chips they need. And I'm also going to blame Pfizer. That's a horrible chart on Pfizer. Pfizer hit 52. I mean, it was on fire during the COVID vaccination and all. And all of a sudden, Pfizer's just been a horrible stock. It's down another 2% today is PFE. Moderna, on the other hand, is up. So there must be good news on Moderna today, bad news on Pfizer, and that does impact the Dow. Okay, there's one other story here that I want to hit real quickly because I think it's a big one. Underinvestment in energy is leading to a bumpy ride. That is the IEA. That's the International Association, that World Energy Association. And we've been talking about that. You can't just all of a sudden quit drilling and underinvest and quit the research and development and flip the switch to solar and wind and hydrogen overnight. And there seems to be a shortage that's driving oil and gas prices higher, natural gas prices soaring. The IEA are saying, hey, there is a looming risk of more turbulence for the global energy markets. Spending on oil and natural gas has been depressed by the price collapse in 2014 and 15 and again in 2020. As a result, you know, a lot of these companies backed off. But I would also say that the underinvestment is, you know, I mean, the war, basically, on fossil fuels right now. All right, so the stocks I want to mention here real quickly in the remaining few minutes we have, I want to mention Hilton Worldwide is all of a sudden our number six ranked stock. I think the symbol is just plain old H. No, it's HLT, but Hyatt looks good, too. HLT. Now, I just noticed we traveled, too, this past week down to Florida. It seems like the hotel business is pretty much back to normal, just judging by all the people at the free breakfast in the morning, you know. Hilton, HLT, is our number six ranked stock right now. And it's getting a big upgrade right now at Argus. What is their target price? Let's see. They don't have a target price, but I've been watching Hilton rise in rank, and I thought a lot of that recovery from COVID had already been built into it, but apparently not. because Hilton is on a roll. Hilton got as low at the height of COVID or the pits of COVID. There it is. There is the low on Hilton last year. It got down to $44 per share. And now it's 104. It's up $100 per share. Yeah. We should have been all over Hilton during COVID, okay? The other one I got to mention here is AMD. I haven't read whether there must be news. I didn't see any as I prepared.
Above 108, I think.
Look at that thing today. That is a powerful move. No, 110.
Oh, it moving was 108 on when 110. I looked at it just a little bit. Yeah, it was 108 when I looked at it about 10 minutes ago. Yeah, 109.75, up almost 5%.
Wow. Now, there's a lot of chip stocks out there. This is the one by far. This is really where we have our money focused in the semiconductor sector. And you can go read our article. Barry did a lot of work on that one earlier this year on AMD. And how's AMD done since the article? Well, you know, the whole chip sector has been kind of wonky with this chip shortage. But you look over the last decade, it's hard to find a better sector than the semiconductor sector overall and any kind of pullback. Not in all of them. I don't like Intel, and there's several others I do not like at all. Broadcom, a few others. But AMD, to me, is still the standout.
Yeah, we refreshed the article back on July 12th. I think since then, stock's up almost 21%, and the market's down about 1%.
That's not bad. Okay, we should have just put all our AUM in AMD. AUM goes into AMD and let it ride, baby.
Yeah.
But we can't do that as fiduciaries. But we do have a very large position. AMD doesn't pay a dividend, so it doesn't qualify for our dividend and growth portfolio. But we have a very large position. I mean, we only own 18 or how many stocks in our Premier Growth 20 at the most
right
now?
Yeah, right about 20, yep.
And AMD is one of those chosen 20. And a huge, huge day today. Very happy here at Gunderson Capital. And the other one I kind of just mentioned a little while ago, it is having a monster day, C Limited. And it's one of the chosen in our 20 premier growth stocks. C Limited is a symbol SE. It's $190 billion. It's a Singapore-based company. They develop an internet platform consisting of digital entertainment, e-commerce. It's kind of like Spotify, Amazon, Google. It's just a monster internet company out of Singapore. With they still are not profitable, but they have monster sales growth. Listen to the last four quarters of sales in the last 30 seconds here. Up 99%, up 102%, up 147%, up 159%. Take that, IBM. That is just killer sales growth, and it's making a monster move. We bought quite a bit yesterday, which, you know, when you come to us, I don't buy all the stocks in our portfolios on day one. When I see a good buy point, I say, look, I already own this stock in our portfolios, but I'm buying it today for new clients, and we did buy it yesterday. All right. Well, you know what? We're out of time. We want to welcome. We've got some new clients joining us today. Almost on a daily basis, we have new clients joining us. It's my job to put those new clients to work. Sometimes they bring in cash, just cash. Sometimes they bring in an existing portfolio. And that goes in front of my eyeballs, in my watch list, and I start cleaning out. I call it weeding the garden. I start watering the garden and putting in a lot of my stuff over time. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or begin with the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.